Really good to be here at North Ferriby, I concluded my time in Hull as a curate at Holy Trinity in 1977, and then went to Bradford Cathedral for 3 years, and then took up the ministry of being a vicar in a mining community in Doncaster, Woodlands, for 11 years, and then was the team rector of Dewsbury in West Yorkshire, Muslim town, with the need for a Christian mission base for 11 years. And then I've just completed 13 years as the Evangelical Archdeacon of Blackburn. That was in my job description. The Evangelical Archdeacon of Blackburn, that's very rare. And when I started 13 years ago or so, I was the only non-Catholic in the senior team. So that was quite interesting. And there's been an interesting time bringing mission to the agenda of the Diocese of Blackburn over the last 13 years. And just saying to Sue that the reason that I retired is not only because I hit 65, but because the new Bishop of Blackburn is one who has taken over the torch that I had for mission and evangelism, and he's now got that firmly in his grasp. So I said to him, Julian, I'm handing it over to you now. I can now retire and you can build a new team that's your team for mission over the next 10, 12 years. So I've retired to Goole, Sleepy Hollow. And the reason I've retired there is because, one, it's near to all my long-term friends, half an hour in every direction, and a good place of communication, and because it's a place of great need. And it's the forgotten lands of the Diocese of Sheffield. So the Christian church needs a lot of input in that area. So that's why I'm there. So it's great to have permission to officiate in the Diocese of York and to be able to come here and help with today's worship. I don't know Matthew, actually, but I've heard of Matthew. And Matthew went to my school, and our spiritual father is a man called Ray Bealey, and who I owe a great debt to, and I guess Matthew does too. And so he said, do you know, John, when you go to Goole, you're near to Matthew, so give him a ring or get in touch and try and support him as well. So I did. The imagery of the shepherd and his sheep appears not only in today's passages of Psalm 23 and John 10, but it appears elsewhere in the Old Testament. It appears in Isaiah, for example, where Isaiah refers to the Lord God as one who tends his sheep like a shepherd. And in Jeremiah, there is the reference to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep, who are my people. And in the prophecy of Ezekiel, there's a lot about the shepherds, but they are bad shepherds. But in Psalm 23, which is called really the Shepherd's Psalm, is an unsurpassed example, really, of the ability of the Hebrew poet, probably King David himself, to bring to life the statements of faith that are so clearly, and like nowhere else, put in the words of Psalm 23, that's put nowhere else in Scripture so clearly as there. And when we connect with the shepherd watching over his flock imagery, we have a very clear statement of faith without which our understanding of the nature of God would be so incomplete. Psalm 23 is almost a part of our whole lives, our Christian lives, our spiritual lives. It's the most wonderful psalm. No wonder Jesus uses it of himself as the good shepherd. A God who loves supremely and cares not only for the flock, but for each individual sheep, for each individual person. It's not just about the flock, it's about each individual sheep, individual person. And Psalm 23 begins, as we know, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so the use of "my" means that the God of Israel can have a personal relationship with each human being. A one-to-one relationship with the living God is possible. How utterly amazing that is. And yet I remember as a lad who went to church all the time, I remember how that personal dynamic was something that I had to discover in my teenage years. For going to church, believing in God, and being part of a group of people at church who worship Sunday by Sunday was great. But I did not have that personal, intimate relationship with the living God that's described in the words of "the Lord is my shepherd." And only when I realized that Jesus had died on the cross for me, and in my prayers of searching, when I hear and see Jesus on the cross speaking out to me, saying, "I died there for you. I died on this cross for you, John. So what is your response to me?" Only then did I realize that I could say, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my Savior. He is my Lord." Only then was it personal and real. There was an old widow in Scotland, in the Highlands of Scotland, who had only 5 sheep. It was the time of the clearances, the time when greedy landowners bullied their tenant farmers to run them off the land for a more economical sheep rearing, of mass sheep rearing. But the old widow would not be driven out, so the landowner ordered all the sheep to be gathered up, including the old widow's 5, so that she'd not be able to find her sheep amongst the hundreds, maybe thousands of sheep that were there. And of course, if she lost her sheep, she would have lost her livelihood too, and she'd have to leave. When all the sheep had been gathered together, the old widow complained about losing her sheep. And the landlord said, with a grin and a bit of a smirk, said, "Well, if out of all these hundreds of sheep you can find your 5, then you can have them back." And the old widow just simply walked forward to the huge flock. And she simply cried out, "Anna, Beth, Morag, Shona, Catriona, come away home." Sure enough, one by one, because they were known individually and they were known by name, the 5 sheep walked back to her cottage, for they knew her voice. She was their shepherd, and she knew each by name, and they knew her, and she kept her sheep. And Jesus takes up this personal dynamic when he says in John 10, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." The Lord is my shepherd. So very often down the centuries, doctrinal issues have defined the true church. But Jesus's definition of what is a true church is to be defined by, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." That personal dynamic which brings alive our discipleship and brings indeed abundant life to us. It also brings encouragement and reassurance, because being known by name, the shepherd knew the sheep and knew their parentage, he knew their defects, he knew their temper, he knew their tastes. And for us, as the shepherd of our souls, God knows us in the same way. And with his perfect knowledge of us, even so the Lord Jesus takes us as we are and still loves us and still saves us. Now, how brilliant is that? The personal dynamic is here in Psalm 23. It is there also in the teaching of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus makes that personal dynamic encounter real for us today. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be part of the true church. But of course, life is not always easy, and we face many challenges. We face, of course, our own mortality, let alone the difficulties of life and the trials of life. And in Psalm 23, as we know, it says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." The image of the shepherd is of one who is always with the sheep, guarding and guiding them, even through the darkest valley. Not pushing them from behind, but always looking out for them, leading from the front, guiding them and rescuing them, leading from the front so that they have a clear way to go if they're willing to follow. And Jesus, moving away from Psalm 23, picks up this same imagery when he says, "I am the gate for the sheep." He was prepared to lay down across the entrance to the sheepfold was a good shepherd, not only to keep the sheep safe, but also to indicate that through him is the gateway to life and safety and security. But ultimately, Jesus' laying down of his life upon the cross was Jesus as the good shepherd laying down his life as the gateway through death for us to eternal life. For whoever enters through me, the gate, will be saved. That tells us something also about the exclusivity, in one sense, of the Christian faith and the Christian way. That when Jesus speaks about him being the gate of the sheepfold, whoever enters through me will be saved, he's saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way." And therefore, when we as Christians get a hold of this wonderful dynamic of a real relationship with the living God, we also have got a hold of the very secret of life that will bring us fulfillment and joy and must be shared. God goes therefore before us into and through the valley of the shadow of death, walking alongside us, showing the way through life's darkest experiences. But Jesus, as the shepherd who is the gate, also lays down his life for the sheep, so that his death on the cross becomes the gateway to forgiveness and blessing and hope and eternal life. The psalmist says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This image of the shepherd who is always there alongside the sheep is a huge challenge also to those who take on the mantle of being a vicar, a pastor. Because, of course, the way that Jesus laid down his life for his sheep is also the pattern that those who are ordained are to follow. And so as Matthew, your vicar, takes a well-earned rest, along with his family and all that that implies for Matthew, pray for him today and all these next 2 weeks, however long he's away, that he may be refreshed so that he too can follow the example of the Good Shepherd in his ministry. For it is a tall order for any man or woman to take on that responsibility. So with all the reassurances and encouragement of the Good Shepherd, how can we know that we're actually listening to God, the Good Shepherd, and his voice in our lives? The answer is there in John chapter 10, verse 10, for Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full," says the Good Shepherd. And so listening to and responding to his voice means that we are fulfilled human beings. We are complete. Even intoxicated people, intoxicated with the joy of knowing God himself, filled with joy and peace. It's about us simply being Christians as Jesus wants us to be, having a different way of life, in knowing the shepherd. And knowing the shepherd is about having the secret of life. Such a way of life as this is what is needed to attract and affect those whom Jesus wants to bring into his fold. People who are not part of that fold at the present time, the other sheep. No matter how much we talk about and do mission and evangelism, it will only be effective if our lives show that following Jesus has made a real difference to us. Through the way that we love, through the way that we have evident joy in our relationship and with the Good Shepherd. The Shepherd who I know will never leave me, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. So today, as we reflect on Psalm 23 and as we reflect on Jesus the Good Shepherd, remember the dynamic of that personal relationship that the Good Shepherd enables in you and in me. Remember also the dynamic of a God who is always there with us, sharing our lives, supporting us, guarding us, keeping us. Let us also remember the dynamic of a positive change in our lives, that we are different people because we know the Good Shepherd. Let us remember that David, the little lad, had that life-transforming experience of knowing that God was with him when he defeated the greatest of giants, Goliath. And David, as a great king, knew that he was the one who preserved a trust in God for the people of Israel. Let us take up that challenge that is there in that psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for each one of us. Amen.